No.
Who don't drink in Rocklahoma?
Your.
Who else in the local crowd say yeah?
Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
.85 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We're missing one room.
Nick's running around from one room to the next. In the meantime, a little musical interlude for you.
You may think that's childish and silly, but you'll be humming at about 2 o'clock this afternoon.
And now this.
Yeah. This song is actually bad enough that it bothers me. All right. I have both.
Okay, you have both? Okay, let's start
Minute 30 sound about
that
right?
That sounds about right. Okay, all right. Let's start with the one he just put in. Okay, so here's how it works. Armpits of America. I will give you a true story that happened in some sort of armpit in this great nation of ours, and then I will give you a choice of three different states, and you just tell me which one it happened in. Are you guys ready?
Yes. Yep.
Two men wearing strange costumes broke into a man's trailer to steal his television and tried to set fire to his home by using spaghetti sauce. Did that happen in A, Florida, B, Georgia, or C, Alabama?
See, that sounds like an art project. And by the way, who steals a TV now? Right. Like, what a waste of time. TVs are like $5.
I saw this TV. Top of the line.
So yeah, you know there's still a tube one,
right. Black and white with rabbit ears.
Like, what do you want to steal? All right, let's commit a felony, and then go in and take a huge thing that we have to take off. We have to pick up and take off, and that we can probably get $150 from someone. All right, I am going to say so. Alabama's with spaghetti sauce.
Yeah,
and that's got to be Florida.
I say Alabama.
Freddie T, we're going to Florida.
Yeah, the spaghetti sauce thing took it over.
All right, let's take a listen.
What do you do? SpaghettiOs get hot. If you put them in the microwave, and make fire.
An ex-lover's revenge foiled thanks to this 10-second clip.
Wait, did you see anybody?
No, I can't see nobody. All I can see is the towel being put over the camera.
Deputy. He's got a security system in his trailer.
He does.
Right.
It's
a high-tech redneck.
Exactly. He's got a Sony disc.
Sony disc.
Did you ever have the Sony discs?
I know what you're talking about, yes.
Yeah.
An ex-lover's revenge foiled thanks to this 10-second clip.
Wait, did you see anybody?
No, I can't see nobody. All I can see is the towel being put over the camera.
Deputies catching these two men red-handed, accused of burglarizing the victim's home and trying to burn it down.
I got an alert at 6:54. I called D-Land police and...
What's the alert? Varmints! Varmints! Nope! Boy, your feet don't fail me now. I gotta get over there. I received an alert. You know what? Why don't you take the security system, not buy it, and try to get an actual home or an apartment?
Right. A house whose door isn't made of balsa wood.
Right. I just like he's got this TV, this video camera. He loves it all. He's got it all.
They was here in no time.
The man who declined to reveal his identity was at work Tuesday morning when it happened. Deputies say ex-boyfriend 36-year-old Derek Irving disguised in a bull costume onesie.
He was wearing a bull costume onesie. What's funny is that
I was auditioning for my Mehmet play.
Mammoth's play. Dan said, well, that sounds like it'd be hard to track the sale. How many bull onesies?
One. Wait, which, I'm telling you, it's an artistic statement.
Oh.
Bull onesie. Now, how would you have a bull onesie? Like, what is the distinguishing characteristic of a bull onesie?
I need buying that and wearing that.
Because it was dark and you can't see me.
I see.
Right. They wouldn't recognize my stomach.
because of the udders, or there'd be a cow, not a bull. Then
exactly.
I guess
that's what I'm saying. Is that what? How do you make a bull onesie? I'll tell you what, it was brown.
Oh, these pictures are great. Oh.
Deputies say ex-boyfriend 36-year-old Derek Irving disguised in a bull costume onesie and 28-year-old John Silva removed the AC unit to get inside.
I'm assuming they thought they had all kinds of time.
The duo deputies say...
But little did they know. They thought they had all... It was like robbing a bank. All right, guys, come on, 20 seconds.
All kinds of time.
The duo deputies say stole the man's TV, AC unit, heater, and a vacuum before boiling a pot.
Well, there you go. If you want revenge, Nick, just go to someone's house and take the vacuum. Let's take everything that's heavy and cumbersome. You know, there's probably, like, you might as well empty out his change drawer.
Let's steal this mattress.
Exactly.
Take the fridge while you're at it.
You know what? I think I can get these shutters off.
Deputies say stole the man's TV, AC unit, heater, and a vacuum before boiling a pot of spaghetti sauce and taking a white towel to the stove.
Well, he was trying to make it look like that I'd left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
How cute. He calls it biscotti.
What was that called?
Who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Does he color? Does he get in his mom and dad's bed when he can't go to sleep, when he has a bad dream?
So he can eat his spaghetti?
Spaghetti.
It's like a young Joey Lawrence on Give Me a Break.
Look at spaghetti.
I mean, the reason they didn't get out is they stepped on all my Legos. I'll tell you, I was so scared the last two nights I had to make a little cave in the living room, a fort. Biscotti.
I'd left the stove on, but who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes biscotti?
Deputy stopped the two in the driveway where they found the man's items and an empty jar of spaghetti sauce.
Now that's a crime you got to crack.
They're in the driveway, futilely dragging like 5,000 pounds of crap. And I like how they took the can of spaghetti sauce out of the house, leave no clue behind. We got to get rid of this spaghetti sauce.
Silva claiming he had no idea Irving was stealing from the home.
It started out as a relationship that lasted about a week.
The victim says they had a fallout, but the two remain friends and doesn't know why Irving is so angry.
Let him use my car for 4 months. Maybe he's angry about that. Or maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth. Skitty.
$150 to fix his teeth. Would you melt down the quarters? $150. That's going to get you a lot.
Pasta.
Skitty.
Pasta.
I gave him $150. Oh, boy. You know that's the trailer park, quote unquote, dentist.
That's right. That's the dude at the Red Roof Inn.
Yeah. Do a shot of whiskey and then ignore these pliers.
Who gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning and fixes spaghetti?
Well, I mean, listen.
Maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth.
Gave his wife a butt injection too. Those illegal ones.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you, I was eating biscotti and watching Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
What?
Biscotti.
Biscotti.
Cute when I say it.
Right, it's cute.
Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason.
Maybe he's angry because I gave him $150 to fix his teeth.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, the previous CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason was brought to you by Jeff Carbone Insurance.
Oh, by the way, we are...
I burped into the mic, which is super cool. It shows that you're a radio bad boy. The best thing ever. Oh, yeah, look at me. I'm burping into the mic. I don't care.
You don't play by a consultant's rules.
No, burping into the mic is the lamest thing ever. It's just, you're just a piece of garbage. Look, I burped into the mic. That was not my intention there.
That was just nature.
That was barely a burp.
Yeah.
But you try to hold them in. There's nothing hackier than burping into the mic. But go ahead.
I just want to quickly promote. 30 minutes from now, we have Celtics tickets to give away to tonight's
game. No one cares.
You're still sore about the whole Celtics conversation we had with John Wallach earlier.
Yeah, real upset.
By the way,
That's right. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics tip off against the 76ers tonight for Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals at the Garden. Visit the Celtics, visit Celtics.com/playoffs to secure your seat today.
By the way, I saw Joel Embiid yesterday. He was getting on the bus with a bunch of his other teammates, and I take it they're probably all going out to dinner together because they were all in street clothes, and it was around like 6 o'clock. They're all leaving their hotel, and all I wanted to do was to see if TJ McConnell was out there so I could jump out and go, boo, to see if his eyes could poke any more out of his head than they already
do. He's like the epitome of like an annoying, I know he didn't go to Duke, but just Duke slapping the floor. what's the point guard they had?
Wojo. An assistant, I believe, under Krzyzewski now.
Well, you think he's leaving that campus?
Oh, no, wait. Actually, he might have gotten a head coaching job. Anyway, yes, that's Wojo. You know,
if he left the campus, he wants back.
By the way, who is the guy?
It's like Dawkins that never left. Johnny Dawkins was there for like 75 years.
Ilyasova, the guy.
Ersan Ilyasova.
Okay, in person, that guy even looks more like a human vampire.
By the way, Wojo, head coach at Marquette now. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a good
guess. It's a fun fact. Yes. That dude is like genuinely terrifying in person. He's even pastier, even for Boston, he's as pasty as it gets. And he looks absolutely like some sort of like guy at a central casting for the new Dracula movie. The Ilyasova, is that how you pronounce
Ersan
his name?
Ilyasova.
Is he the guy with the hair lip?
He might have a hair...
Saric, you mean the guy with the weird mustache?
No, he's the guy who's like as white as it gets with the darkest of black hair, and he's like 90 feet tall.
There's a guy with a hair lip.
Who is that?
I think you're thinking of Saric. Is that him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Saric, yeah. He's got a little bit of a...
No, he has a hair lip. Yeah. I mean, I'm just pointing out the obvious.
He does.
There's nothing.
And what's funny is I've never even thought of it.
God bless everyone.
Yep.
With hair lips, but he has a hair lip. I mean, there's nothing. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just pointing out a physical characteristic of the man. So lay off.
I saw all of the signature hounds standing outside too. And
there's so many valuable autographs we have.
Well, I mean, you know, I would think Ben Simmons rookie is probably somewhat valuable.
No, autographs are nothing.
I'm with you, Fred. But I see these guys all the time, and they must invest in buying every jersey for every single team because it's the same guys, and they always wear a jersey of whatever team's playing there so they can pose as if they're real fans. Many times they bring their kids with them and get them. They're talking to them before they come out and say, all right, this is the guy you're going for. And the kid comes up, but they're turning around, and they're seeing all these professional autograph hounds waiting for them. And, oh, it was so annoying yesterday when they were all coming out of the bus.
If you get a kid to do it, then God bless you. Because at least you want the... Because the kid, I mean, he's around...
But it's not for the kid. They're going to sell that.
No, but it doesn't matter. He's around NBA players. If you can get your kid to be part of the action...
But you got to stand out there for like 5 hours and wait for these guys.
Remember when I interviewed Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah.
I mean, that was Wayne Gretzky. There was no team at the hotel.
Yeah.
And there was about 25 people outside waiting for Wayne Gretzky, and Wayne Gretzky was just like, nope.
Nope, not going to do it.
Nope, not signing anything.
Well, the worst is like they're all, like when they all come out, like every, because the players would come out like one at a time, and there'd be like a minute pause between, and every time a player would come out, you'd, trust the process. Trust the process. Can I get an audio? Trust the process. Oh, I hate that stupid phrase. It's really pissing me off now.
I think everyone does. But if you're ever in Detroit, metro area, and you want to get a professional team's autograph, go to the Townsend Hotel in Birmingham, Michigan.
Nice place.
That is where Cabrera... You've stayed there.
That's just saying, when I was with the Celtics, that's where the Celtics used to stay. It changed now because...
Where do they stay now?
I don't... Because now the Pistons downtown. Play downtown, so I would assume the hotel's different.
I guarantee you the
Oh, really? How far is... I have no idea about geography. How far outside of Detroit is Birmingham?
12 miles, so they're probably... 6 miles from the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought they specifically stayed out there because the palace at Auburn Hills is out in the suburbs.
The Townsend is a luxury hotel, and I believe in a nice area, and I believe that, like, they wouldn't stay at, like, the Westin Wilkes Booth downtown. So, yeah,
they're I'm just asking.
Nelson, well, get a little bit more about that.
When you stay with the Celtics, do you see these autograph hounds?
Yes.
And when you walk out, they go, Robert Carradine, sign this, please. I loved you in Revenge of the Nerds.
Gilbert.
Can you please sign
my have an autograph.
Revenge of the Nerds 2 Nerds in Paradise soundtrack?
Anytime you question the Wallaholics, they come out in full force. They don't like that at all.
They were not expecting to be called Robert Carradine this morning.
Yeah.
So I understand.
Because you look like a big nerd.
I got the glasses on. I got it.
You know what's funny is that he was in town for one of these like Comic-Con things in Providence, and I like requested to have him in studio just because I wanted him to sit next to you and you two do the interview together.
Right.
Like the split screen would have just been something I would have just... I would have been able to talk.
I understand.
It would have been a cacophony of bad teeth.
Sure.
Bubba, go ahead.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Bubba, what's up, man?
Hey, listen, you guys know like I work down at Fox, right? And some of these autograph people are absolutely ridiculous. So, like, you'll do training camp, and training camp is free to the public. Everyone can go down there. I've seen people, like, rent those mobile wheelchairs, like, fake injuries, just so they can get to the front where, like, these handicapped people and people with special needs need to sit. Just so they can get down in front to get autographs.
It's really?
Ridiculous. And what? Sell them on eBay for $10?
Yeah, I know. The thing is, autographs aren't worth anything. They're not. Like a couple hundred dollars for a great one.
Who's that athlete we had on, and he said that he signs his autograph for the people like that to highest eBay bidder and then puts his autograph?
I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know why you would crap on someone for selling your autograph. I mean, they're supposed to cherish it for the rest of their lives. They gave me a Barry Sanders signed helmet here. And remember we were at the Super Bowl where they overprice everything.
Yeah.
And the mini, Barry Sanders is the greatest running back of all time. There's no question about it. And what was it, $250 marked up? And that's marked up like $1 million, that like 100 times. So, I mean, if Barry Sanders autographed, the greatest running back of all time is worth that. I mean, you're really wasting your time.
I bid a bunch of money at a charity auction on a Tom Brady signed football. Because I figured if there's something that I can give my kids, if there's any athlete, that it's probably going to end up being something that they're going to, even, I mean, not to even sell, but just to have, that's kind of cool. That's got to be one of the few. The best of all time, football signed by him, documented, that's it. But other than that, I don't know if there's anything autographed that I would really...
I guarantee you the Tom Brady thing's not worth anything.
And that's not even why. It was more just like, you have a football signed by Tom Brady.
My kids touch it. My daughter said, let's go Patriots. She thought she was reading something. My son became very offended. Very offended at my daughter. Said, how dare you say
your daughter's
those words?
A Patriots fan,
No,
son...
she's not.
Oh, okay.
No. She thought she was reading something. Patriots fan.
Because my Milo is a Jets fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like his father.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
It's not allowed in my house.
Would an O.J. Simpson autograph be worth anything?
I mean, like $300, say.
That's one. I don't have a lot of autograph things. I have like a Joe Namath signed football, for example.
I have a Joe Namath signed card.
Yeah, something my grandfather used to work in New York got me when I was a kid. But I have an O.J. Simpson autograph that I got when I was like 5 years old. And I saw him in a diner, and he wrote, I think I've told this story before, on a napkin at a diner. It said,
I'm going to kill
peace,
you.
Peace and love. Number 32, O.J. Simpson.
There is an autographed O.J. Simpson 1995 Hall of Fame card for 1999.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have an Albert Pujols signed picture. I have an Ozzie Smith signed picture. I have a hockey stick signed by the 2011 Bruins. I have, and it's all worth nothing. I thought we were going to get fired at one point when we were in Brighton, when I was living in Brighton, and I started selling off a bunch of stuff because I thought we were going to get fired. And I sold a Kovalchuk jersey, but it was framed for $250 to an autograph or to a listener.
Geez, that's kind of a deal. That was a nice frame, too. I remember that thing.
Yeah. I mean, probably if I went to a pawn shop, I could have gotten $75 for it. All right, so we'll be back. We'll talk about David Price and all the shenanigans going on about him. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Be listening at 7:50 for your chance at Celtics tickets. I just want to take this one call. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I might have the most worthless autographed thing in the world here. My band was playing at a fundraiser at Gillette Stadium back in 2005, and so a lot of the Red Sox players were there, and I jumped down off the stage, had my bass, and went over to the table, and Curt Schilling signed my bass guitar.
Devalued it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've tried to sell it on eBay, and I don't even get one bid. I've actually had people contact me afterwards and ask me, I'll buy it for $50. I'm like, dude, the guitar's worth more than $50. Never mind that. And now I'm blocked by the tool bag on Twitter, so.
Yeah, he blocks everyone on Twitter. He's a piece of garbage.
Oh, that is still not the strangest. Okay, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but this is a discussion I can't believe we haven't had yet. It's been about a week since this tweet was out. Hardy has something that is like DA level creepy.
Yeah. And that's exactly what someone emailed it to me, and that's exactly what they said. Is they said this is DA level.
Okay, because it is. I mean, we always bust on DA for, you know, when he that one time he had that yes, I forget what female reporter was. He took pictures of her feet and like tweeted it out.
I think there was more than one.
Yeah,
I don't think it was just one.
Which of course started the whole DA feet thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hardy had a band back in the day. Yes. I think it was in BCN. Had Veruca Salt. In studio.
Did he have step in salt?
And now Veruca Salt
and then lick it?
Was an alternative rock band that had one big hit called Seether. The lead singers were two women. And he did an interview with them in studio. And when the lead singer left, she left a Coke can or some sort of soda can in the studio.
Did she step on it?
No, but she was drinking out of it. And Hardy put it in a Ziploc bag and saved it. And still has it to this day.
Yeah.
That is some creepy-ass stuff.
What's also funny is that, his wife is pissed about it.
It's weird.
No,
yeah.
But why would she be pissed?
Like, is she legitimately angry?
I don't know. My wife got mad at me yesterday because I was live streaming when I was watching the New Girl. She got angry at me. She thought I was being lame.
And now you're going to do it again?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Except this time, Stephanie, you think you're mad now. I'm going to do this again, and I'm inviting Nora over.
Nora and the guy from TV Guidance Counselor.
You should just go ahead and invite Rock and Roll Mike over as well.
I think that there's a difference.
Now, is this a done deal? You've already corresponded with Nora and all that stuff? Okay.
No. I probably won't do it. I'll run out of steam. But that was the idea yesterday, and I'm sticking with it.
I wouldn't mind hearing like the most worthless autograph you have.
All right, 617-779-0985. It's funny because we were talking about like D-list celebrities, and this guy sent me he listens to us in L.A., and he sent a very funny email, which I'm trying to find on my phone because I can't get it on the computer. And one of the things was that Ron Jeremy, who's a piece of crap, I mean, I've hung out with him before, and he's just awful. He's just an awful, miserable person. And Ron Jeremy apparently will go to the Comedy Store and he will, like, sleep in the back because he's so lonely. Like, he doesn't want to, like, be alone. And the dude was driving home from work. And right in Sunset, there was a broken down car. And Ron Jeremy's out there and it was a 1998 Saturn.
that was he was standing in front of.
Right.
So God bless you if you want to get into pornography. The biggest male porn star of the world as was driving a 1998
Santa. I drove one of those.
Well, yeah, in 1998.
Cost me like $15
to
buy.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that.
No, Ron Jeremy is the worst.
Yeah.
He's just awful. He's a star effer. I've gone out with him.
Do you remember the one time that he was promoting something and we had him on?
No,
and
that he wasn't promoting anything.
No.
The reason we had him on is I had his phone number.
Oh, and our game was how many famous people name drops will he throw in within 3 minutes?
No. We asked him about, we just went through, I know the bit exactly because it's why we did it. I had Ron Jeremy's phone number. I probably still do. And he'll answer the phone if I call him now. And we went just named a bunch of celebrities, and then he realized we were screwing with him, but still didn't hang up.
Just kept going. Yeah. By the way, somebody said my friend paid $20 for a Jonas Gray autograph card.
Oh man! During the 1 week he was popular,
he had 1 week where he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and then remember he didn't show up to practice or he got there late,
and that was the end.
And then boom, that was the end. Oh, we had Jonas Gray on one time, and I remember his agent thought he was like. I think like Jonas Gray was like his biggest client. And remember he called us and like started like ripping on us because Jonas was supposed to be on the show.
Yes.
And
he had a stand us. Up. Didn't he do stand up?
And Jonas was supposed to be on the show and he stiffed us like twice. And so the agent like called up and was like spinning all these lies and stuff. I forgot about that. Gray, my God.
And so I had to do a gig at Capitol Grill in Chestnut Hill and Jonas Gray was there. It was the best day of my life. Jameson, go ahead.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey. What's up?
When I was a kid, I was at a Red Sox game, and I got a ball signed by Omar Vizquel.
Yeah.
But then I was standing by the dugout, and Bob Rogers from Nesson walked by, and he grabbed the ball and signed it, making the ball completely worse.
It's like the attitude. All right, there you go, Chase. Bob Roger. Who's Bob Roger?
Bob Roger?
It's the guy from Nesson.
I don't know. Someone from Nesson. All right. I just like the idea that
the studio guy that was before Tom Karen?
Tom Karen? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Tom Karen's been doing studio stuff since at least 2009.
This goes back even another 10 years before that, maybe.
Yeah, Vizquel played a long time. All right. Sean is in. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
So back in the day, Ron Jeremy ran into a girlfriend of ours down at spring break and gave her his cell phone number, obviously, for different reasons. But she gave us his number, and we used to prank him literally 7 days a week at, like, 4 a.m. while we were at potty. We used to tell him that we were producers and that we were doing a Boondock Saints 3. The only thing about the movie was he was going to take it this time, not the girl. And he used to lose his freaking mind, man, every morning, like 4 a.m.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. He's one of the worst. Go ahead.
On his voicemail, he used to have like a rap. And Rich, if you remember, he used to like do like a little rap, like "This is Ron's phone." I don't know how it went, man. It was nuts.
Nice. He's the worst. Yeah. He's an awful human being.
We're getting some pretty funny ones coming in, but I think we. Do you want to do the tickets here? Or
No. I got it. We'll break.
Okay, we'll break.
We don't break right now. Stop. You're reading the clock wrong.
Well, we're almost at a 5.
Give me it. No. Well, it's a 6.
I would say this would be the right time to do it.
No. It's a 6. This breaks a 6, and that takes you to the 0.
Okay.
Is what I've been told, according to the show, according to the thing. All right, whatever. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, I was at a Sox game when I was a kid. And Wade Barnes was signing autographs right before the game. And I was right down by the dugout. The game was about to start, so he had to go into the dugout. And Bob LaBelle came over and grabbed the ball and signed my baseball. And then he went down the line and signed everybody's ball. And then the next day, my father threw it to me for batting practice.
Yeah. Bob LaBelle signed ball. Can you imagine thinking that people cared? All right. Be listening. After the break, we will have your tickets for tonight's Celtics game. You'll be very excited.
Toucher and Rich.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we're getting some tweets of people with their most worthless autograph. And, I mean, there's one guy. See, some of these autographs are kind of funny. Like, one dude said that he was, he got Robert Parrish to sign. He goes, I have Robert Parrish's autograph in the back of my dad's shopping list from a trip to AutoZone when I was a kid. Now, that stuff's kind of interesting. Well, when you have a situation like that, that's all right.
Yeah, my father was next to Billy Sims on a plane and had him sign a,
airplane napkin, and he was very excited to give that to me, and now it is probably disintegrated as a trash heap. Didn't really hang on to the Billy Sims autograph. I had a party in my house in high school, and my parents had a safe in their closet, which conveniently had the key in it. And these guys went in and, like, stole, a Stan Musial card and this other stuff. And then I look back at it and I say, well, they probably got $5 for everything. the memorabilia you stole. And my dad didn't even know, but I had finally told him. I told him, like, 2 years ago, and he got pissed. It happened when I was in high school, and I told him a couple years ago. No, he didn't know. What does he care? He didn't remember he had that crap. And then I told him, and he was very upset. Now, John Wallach, you know that I have 3 Ken Griffey Jr. mint rookie cards.
Yes.
From 3 different baseball card manufacturers. Now, mm-hmm. what would you give me for these 3 cards? He's your favorite player.
I know, but I'm not into the... I'm not. I collected baseball cards a long time ago. I'm not one of those... I mean, I have 1 Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. I think it's an upper deck.
It's not in mint condition.
No, it's in one of those plastic things.
No, it's not in mint condition.
Okay. Well, in that case, you obviously... I give it to you. You are
you
the card
collector.
You
don't collect baseball cards?
No, not anymore. No.
I do.
Okay.
It's a fun activity with my children.
Yeah, my son does.
Well, yeah, so. my
no,
kids
your
don't.
Your son's a nerd.
My kids just aren't interested.
I don't know. I'm just saying because he does the same thing I do.
he's copying you. That's right.
One worthless autograph, just to add on to it. When I was younger, I went to Patriots training camp. They were holding it at Bryant back then. And I got Hartley Dykes' autograph, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to take Steve Atwater. We're not taking Andre Rison. We're going to take Hartley Dykes with pick 16 of the first round. He went 2 picks after Jeff Lagerman, by the way.
I was just going to say, that's a Jeff Lagerman.
That's a Jeff Lagerman year.
Here's my most useless. And this is almost something that I'm embarrassed that I got him to sign, but I have a Bobby Kremins signed NIT, National Invitational Tournament poster. So that's like, I mean, you're embarrassed
Georgia
to be
Tech?
There anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also got Hartley Dykes' autograph at Bryant College during training camp 1 year.
Yeah.
He was there for 3 years.
So it's an
number one pick.
I have a Scott Zolak autograph that a friend got me on a cruise. Former Bruins player Lane McDermott. Assigned 8x11.
That guy?
See, now we're talking.
Did they get the fake Zolak jersey that we have in the hall?
the one where the six is flipped upside down?
Where they,
the nine is flipped upside down?
Yeah, the nine is flipped upside down.
To make it look like a six? Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't find a six.
But the best thing is they did that, and then Zolak signed it, and they framed it and put it on the wall here. That's the best of
Can
all
Can you
of
imagine
that.
Having a framed fake Zolak jersey?
You know what? The Zolak jersey is worth a hell of a lot more than my Dykes autograph, I'll tell you that.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Worth more than my Hartley Dykes training camp autograph?
It's not an insult to Zolak. They're both worth nothing.
Oh.
But do you think there's a big market for Scott Zolak signed merchandise?
I'm just thinking.
First of all, it's so rare. And second of all, I guess if you had a jersey, it would be, they've made like 5. So you would have a collector's item.
I got 2 real good suggestions here on Twitter. 1, a Brian Daubach signed baseball.
Oh, I remember.
That's impressive there. And the other is J.J. Stokes.
People are tweeting me.
Jesus.
Yeah.
People are tweeting me photos of their like bad autographs, and someone just sent me one that says to Colin, your friend Fabio.
Well, Fabio at one time
was
a big deal.
Was he? I guess he was. Well, he was on. I can't believe it's not butter commercial.
If you read the romance novels that I often did to spice up my days, Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, I got 2 actually really quick ones that are both pretty embarrassing. When I was a kid, I was at a concert. Black Crowes were playing. They signed one of my shirts. Somewhat respectable autograph. And then, like, Fuel and Hum put their autographs on my shirt. And that kind of
Fuel. Fuel. In my hands! In my hands again! Fuel was at our alternative station. They had a song, In My Hands.
Yeah.
Which is not a good song.
Hemorrhage, yes.
Was one of, maybe the second most played song.
Number one. That was the number one.
No, Amber was number one.
Oh, by 311?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Amber is the color of all time.
Someone says I have a Zolak autograph on someone else's jersey.
Well, that's what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you were here. Did they make Zolak jerseys?
No.
Yeah, they don't make those jerseys.
No.
Like, I don't think you can get a Grizzlick jersey at the pro shop for the Bruins. You know, or that's even a bad example. Like, Grizzlick
plays more.
Yeah, like Gianta jersey.
Yeah.
You know, Colin Miller jersey. Well, they probably made Colin Miller jerseys.
They probably don't even have a Donato one yet.
No, they probably do.
They must by now. Yeah.
I mean, the kids, they like. Rob, go ahead.
So my sister was bar hopping in like the early 90s in Faneuil Hall and came across Jimmy Rogers, who was the coach of the Celtics at the time.
Oh, man.
And so he signed, you know, Rob, thank you for being a great Celtics fan. All the best, Jimmy Rogers. So then she hit a couple more bars and all of a sudden looked in the back and said, oh, I just met your coach. And it was Larry Bird. And he signed the very little, so I have his autograph, this big message from Jimmy Rogers, and then in the tiny corner is Larry Bird.
Thereby making the item completely worthless.
I just was sent a picture of a Jermaine Wiggins autograph.
So. Well, Wiggy stands out on corners, man, with a pen, you know? I think that if you sent a envelope and said, Jermaine Wiggins, will you please sign a jersey for me and mail it back to me? He would sign, he would get a jersey because he probably has 500 of them, sign it, then go to the post office, package it, and mail it to
you. No, I'd probably drive over to your house.
You wouldn't even make it.
Drive.
Where do you live? Everett? I'll be there in a second.
No, of course, it's going to Everett.
I have a set list autographed by Marcy Playground, somebody said. A Brandon Bass signed jersey.
Oh,
boy.
There you go.
I was watching Amir Johnson play the other day, and I'm like, is Amir Johnson the most boring player to ever be on the Boston Celtics? Like, in the last, like, 20 years, is he the most, like, nameless, don't remember anything about his time here at Celtic that actually played decent amount of minutes?
What was Marcy Playground's
sex and candy? Sex and candy here.
That was, that song sucks.
Yeah, it was not good. Ken Ober of Remote Control. Somebody just said
he's dead.
Oh, did he die?
Yes, he is. That I knew. He is dead.
Ken Ober is dead. Yes. Kari Wuhrer, with her breast implants. Who had sex with her, John?
David Silver.
David Silver.
Thanks.
Did.
That's what busted up the whole David Donna thing.
For a
backstage,
time.
Backstage at the Babyface concert, yeah.
He was managing Babyface.
Was David Silver was managing Babyface?
Oh, no. Kari Wuhrer was managing Babyface.
Yes, she got him up on stage. Yes.
And she wanted
play keyboards.
She wanted a piece of David Silver's talent.
Yep, that's right.
And then it turned into a whole sex campaign.
And then she gave him an STD, if you remember correctly.
No,
next season it was revealed she gave him an STD.
Was it
over
the clap?
No, it was crabs, I believe.
Oh, well, the crabs, please.
Oh,
that's barely an STD.
Okay, technically I'm right though.
Do you want to know what?
Okay.
Do you want to know what autographs I'm getting pictures of the most? Rene Rancourt. Everyone's got a Rene Rancourt.
Yeah, everyone in my town has a Rene Rancourt.
And I've gotten probably no less than 15 Aaron Hernandez autographs.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, what do I do with this now?
All right, he's not making any more of those. County's dead. But I would
Jason Giambi.
He was here for like 5 seconds.
Jason Giambi, there's worse.
No, Jeremy was here, not Jason.
Well, yeah,